Welcome to the Barth Calderone Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wealth Protector TV. I'm Paul Hitchcock. I'm here with my colleague, Craig Strom, and we are an asset protection, estate planning, business planning firm helping clients across the country. And jumping into this topic today, very important, irrevocable versus revocable trust. Craig, what do we need to know?
Well, this is an extremely timely topic that we actually had an introduction through you, Paul. Thank you. Somebody came in, found us on the Google machine, and came through our intake process, and I had an opportunity to chat with them, and I said, so how did you find us, and what was it that brought you to us? Well, my CPA said we need an irrevocable trust. And my next question, of course, was, why? Why do you need an irrevocable trust?
What was going on?
And the answer wasn't clear. You could tell that they really didn't understand irrevocable versus revocable. It had something to do with a potential liability that might be happening to them. You know, they were worried about maybe getting sued or something with business, and a CPA said, irrevocable trust will protect you. And that's true in some cases, yes. But it really opened up as you and I were chatting today about what we were going to do for a topic. I thought it was really a good idea to reinforce this idea of revocable versus irrevocable. What are the pros and cons? Why would you have one versus the other?
Love it. Let's jump in.
Yeah. So first things first, revocable trust. That is the type of trust that's included in a good family estate plan. Living trust, a revocable living trust. So if you, Paul, are able to revoke a trust or change the trust during your lifetime, that would indicate that you are in control of that trust, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that's going to provide any asset protection if you have the ability to manipulate and control the trust and access the trust?
Yeah, no. Doesn't. Yeah. No. And that's a common mistake, people. Yeah.
Exactly. There's no asset protection provided by a revocable trust. It's great for a family that if you want to build that to make sure that young children and such, you know, have guardianships and have their legacy and inheritance. But during your lifetime, the pros and cons of irrevocable trust versus revocable are pretty stark. They're very, very black and white. An irrevocable trust, as we just were saying, as you might hear in the name, once you set an irrevocable trust in place, it's not easily canceled. You have to go through very specific legal steps and procedures to cancel or change an irrevocable trust. Okay. So let's touch on pros, and then we'll talk about cons, and then we'll wrap it up and crank into the rest of our day. Sound good, Paul?
Love it. Yeah.
Okay, so revocable trust. Pro number one, they're easy to set up. They're easy to amend. You can change them. You can update them, right? They're revocable. You're able to actually modify them throughout your life. There's no big complicated procedure, okay? Now, on the other hand, when you think about managing a trust, well, managing a revocable trust, you're in charge.
Right.
It's pretty easy. Continuous management of that trust, very simple, not a big deal. Now, the huge benefit of a revocable trust is one that we don't get to enjoy because it's actually when we're gone. A revocable trust bypasses the probate system where, you know, the county courts where you live settle up your estate. A revocable living trust says, no, we're not going through probate. The family says that, and they bypass probate, no problem.
Yeah, and probate's the nasty thing. A lot of costs, could take forever. I mean, in California, we are, it could be a couple of years to get through probate. Yes. You know, it can be horrible.
Heaven forbid if you own a property out of state and you have your primary home and a business operating in California, that could be a 18 month to, like you said, 24 month probate in two states.
Big deal. That's a good point.
So you've got that. Pros are, you know, really where, you know, you stay in charge, right? And one of the final things is that if you are the grantor, so let's just definition-wise, the grantor is the person who starts the trust, who forms the trust. If you're the grantor, you can also be the trustee, the person in charge of the trust. That is a revocable living trust. Now, the downside of a revocable living trust is, first, there is no asset protection, no creditor protection from a revocable trust. How many times have we heard that, Paul? Like, there's got to be asset protection. No.
Yeah, people say that a lot about their rental income property. They say, it's in the name of my trust, so if I have a tenant liability, I'm fine. Not the case. Yeah.
That is not the case at all. You're completely open to creditor liability. So there's the downside, number one, there's no creditor protection. The additional piece of that is it does not shield the family from estate taxes if the estate is subject to estate taxes. Now, a lot of folks today, their estate, they might feel like that the numbers are high enough that my estate will not have any estate taxes to pay. The scary reality is that the government can change the rules, and over the next 10, 20 years, it might be possible for the government to bring those estate tax limitations back down to levels where families who didn't think they were going to have estate taxes, all of a sudden they leave behind some big estate taxes. And revocable trusts don't do anything to plan for estate taxes. Okay. Anything else in there? I'm trying to think, Paul. I think those are the big pros and cons of a revocable trust before we move over to the irrevocable side. Any things you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think you hit the high notes. It's just don't look at it as an asset protection vehicle. And this is the living trust. The revocable trust is all about your healthcare directives, financial powers of attorney, who's going to take care of your kids if you get sick.
Right.
And I'll say that also it's about, you know, it's a living, breathing document. You set it up now, amend it, change it. You know, your life's going to change. You know, laws will change. So it moves along with you through life. It's not just a death document. And that living, that living revocable trust, as you've often said in workshops and so forth, also goes along with a pour over will. So when you know you set that up, you're gonna have the pour over will too. So that's a whole package thing you get done and then you move it forward. So I think those are the main points.
That's good. Okay, so we're gonna finish with irrevocable trust.
Yeah.
So irrevocable in the nature is that once you set them up, they're intended to be permanent vehicles, not entirely unchangeable, but not easily changed. So they're irrevocable. So big plus number one, and we finished with it on the revocable trust. And so we'll start with it on the irrevocable trust. One of the big benefits of a irrevocable trust is that you can build in estate tax minimization strategies to reduce or eliminate estate taxes for the family left behind.
Nice, yeah.
Because you implemented an irrevocable trust strategy prior to death. Now, there's a lot of shapes and sizes of irrevocable trust strategies. We're not going to get into the weeds on that. Just know that minimizing estate taxes is actually a big plus that can be part of an irrevocable trust. The other big one we like at our firm is irrevocable trusts offer creditor protection when they are managed properly.
Correct.
That's very important. When they're managed properly, and what we mean by that is that unlike a revocable trust where you can form the trust and run the trust, in an irrevocable trust, you really cannot be the person who is also in charge of that trust. You might be the grantor of the irrevocable trust, But in most cases, you really shouldn't be the trustee of that trust, which means you're not in control of that trust, which now provides it makes it provide a greater level of creditor protection.
Yeah, and I want to make a comment there, because a client recently set it up this way with us, where they had, you know, the parents were alive, of sound mind, sound body. They were doing their estate planning, and instead of giving money outright to one of their kids, they set it up so upon the parents passing, an irrevocable trust is set up for the name of the child. Assets end up in there. The child is a beneficiary, so as you know, access gets the money per the parents' directions, but there's somebody else who's the trustee. So if that child has a liability, or maybe that child had a liability, you know, before the parents passed, and they want to protect it from a creditor that's already hanging around out there, but can't get at the money because the child does not have control over it, even though money's coming out from the trustee and the child's benefiting and so forth. So that's just a good example of it.
No, that's perfect, Paul. I actually spoke with a young lady yesterday who was the beneficiary of exactly that type of a trust.
Yeah.
That her granddad set up an irrevocable trust for her when she was very young and put a substantial amount of money in there when he passed. And she is now buying her first home in Los Angeles cash.
Nice.
Because she had that trust set up and she can buy it that way. It's pretty amazing stuff. So let's roll through this, right?
Yeah.
So we got the minimizing estate taxes. We protect from creditors in an irrevocable trust because we're not in charge of that trust and the trustee is there to protect us, right? The irrevocable trust also bypasses the probate process as well. So don't lose that probate avoidance, you know, bypass in an irrevocable trust. So let's talk about cons though. Okay, so let's talk about cons. The irrevocable trust can be more expensive to set up, maybe a bit more difficult. And by difficult, we mean if you can't be in charge of running it, well, who's going to run that trust? You have to identify a trustee. You have to identify, you know, those rules around governing that trust, the beneficiaries of that trust, who has the power to change that trust. They're a bit more complicated and often a little more expensive to establish. And then you've got to run them, right? You've got to actually operate that trust. Now, they cannot be canceled just easily. They can't be changed easily. In some cases, an irrevocable trust cannot be changed without unanimous approval of beneficiaries or without a trust protector signing off on the trustee's decision to change the trust. So there's some provisions built into an irrevocable trust that make it harder to change it or modify it over the years.
Yeah, okay? Don't go into it lightly. It's got to be for the right reasons. And it's not something that you think about, oh, I'm going to change this up in a few months or a year. It's going to be there.
It's yours, right? And that's actually a good point that leads into this next con, you know, I just thought of this, Paul. These are pros and cons. And in my mind, this next one especially is the reason that it's actually a benefit in my mind, but a lot of folks look at it as a negative. If you set up an irrevocable trust for the right reason, the con that assets are no longer owned and controlled by the grantor, the person who set it up, well, yes, but are they there for the benefit of the grantor in some cases? You mentioned it earlier, Paul, that the grantor in some cases, like the beneficiaries, they have the ability to influence and be involved in that irrevocable trust for the benefit of others, right? So you still have the ability to see that benefit sometimes during your lifetime. You don't always have to set up an irrevocable trust and never see the benefits happen.
Right.
They can actually be something that you see the benefits of during your lifetime. It's just managed through other parties. So you give up control. You give up technical ownership of those assets so that we pick up creditor protection. We pick up estate tax planning benefits, et cetera. Okay. Now, one final thing, and this does come up, that an irrevocable trust, An irrevocable trust is an entity, right, a legal entity, and there can be some significant tax ramifications of an irrevocable trust earning any kind of taxable income. So if you establish an irrevocable trust, please just keep in mind that tax planning should be part of that process, because irrevocable trusts pay a higher tax rate than an individual on a revocable trust, because that is passed right back to the person who started the revocable trust. Whereas an irrevocable trust, if it's managed without tax planning, can have a pretty heavy impact on taxes paid by that trust. It's a pretty big deal. So keep that in mind.
Okay. No, wonderful. And excellent information. And I want to just thank everybody listening for being here. Keep focused on our outreach regarding Wealth Protector TV, because we do this weekly, put out a lot of content. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we have a lot of fresh content that goes up there every week, guiding, teaching, helping. We have a huge library on there. And so around this video, wherever you're watching this, because we're going to stream it everywhere, is going to be, maybe up here, down here, is going to be a way to subscribe to YouTube. So click on that. And then also to get one-on-one with Craig and the team for a complimentary planning assessment. To look at your estate plan, asset protection. You got questions about revocable, irrevocable trust, what it's all about, how people use it. Get one-on-one with us. Happy to get you on a Zoom one-on-one and give you our observations, recommendations, and a blueprint. It's a great session, and we'll cover any issue related to your planning. So Craig, thanks so much. Great stuff. We'll see you here again soon.
Thanks, Paul. Bye.
Talk to you.